morning and welcome to Positively Healthy. I'm Carla Jackson, sitting in for Dr. Trudy Pratt today. And today, Positively Healthy has gone to the dogs. I'm a professional dog trainer here in the Reading area. And joining me today is another professional dog trainer, Sherry McMillan. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Carla. And good morning to our guests that are here with us and to all of our audience out there listening to us.
Thank you for co-hosting with me today.
You're so welcome.
Our radio debut. Dr. Pratt was kind enough to let us take over the studio this morning so we can talk about pets and other critters. And we have two really cool guests that are going to help us do just that.
Okay. Our first guest this morning is going to be Katie Ball. She's here with us to talk about Love Your Pet Expo, which is going to be happening next week. It'll be at the Shasta County Fairgrounds. Katie is the dedicated founder and driving force for this very successful event, and this is going to be their fourth year, and it just gets bigger and better each year. The hours are from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m., and we'll talk about that a little bit more. And the good thing is it's going to be inside, so it'll be rain or shine.
And then we're also going to be talking to Dr. Jen Powers of Above and Beyond Animal Care in Palo Cedro. Dr. Powers is a large animal vet, a small animal vet, and a certified veterinary acupuncturist. She's practiced veterinary medical care in our area for over 16 years, but she's just recently opened her very own clinic out in Palo Cedro. So we're going to talk to her about some seasonal issues regarding our pets' health, how acupuncture works for our animal friends, and any other pet issues that might come up. We might even talk about horses and all kinds of critters. So to start out, though, being a dog trainer, Sherry and I, dog trainers, we thought we'd like to take the opportunity to talk about dog training first. And getting into the spring and summer months, a lot of people are thinking about adding a new puppy to the family. And I get a lot of calls, and Sherry, you probably do too.
Lots of them.
About puppy mouthing and biting. In fact, when Sherry and I used to teach puppy classes together, people would come in and the first thing would say is like, all right, everybody, let's see your scars. Because puppies mouth, that's what they do. They play with each other and they just use their little mouths. So there's two basic issues that I would like to cover. One is teaching the puppy how to use his mouth appropriately, because he is going to use it, and how to avoid accidentally promoting puppy mouthing. So the first issue is teaching the puppy that humans can't be played with like his litter mates. He spent the first 8 weeks of his life rolling and wrestling and biting his siblings, and mom probably intervened if it got a little too rough and told the youngsters to settle down, kind of like a playground supervisor. But also, his siblings won't play with him if he bites down too hard. There's a yipe, and the bite-e goes off away from the biter, and the biter has no one to play with. So we can take a page from that dog family playbook and teach our pup how to be gentle with us. And I recommend actually setting up a play session where you teach the puppy that humans are delicate and you can't use your teeth on us. So the play area should be fairly sterile so the puppy can't bite you and then run off and get entertained someplace else. Preferably, I would almost recommend tethering the puppy to something, because you start your play session and the minute he bites down too hard, you can say, ouch! Remove your hands and make a big deal about how much that hurt, sending the message that humans are really delicate. Resume the play. Hopefully he'll be a little more inhibited this time. And if he bites down hard, ouch, remove your hands. If that doesn't work, then this is where the social banishment comes in, which dogs are so social, and you can actually punish them by just leaving the play area. So what that means is, ouch, make a big deal and just leave. Walk out of the room, close the door behind you if you can, and there he is, tied with nothing to do, lost his playmate. If you do it fast enough and effectively enough, he learns, wow, bite down too hard, nobody to play with. Come back in 30 seconds, make up, ask for a quiet sit, start your play session again. If this doesn't work and the puppy is actually getting worse, I would urge you to consult a professional dog trainer that specializes in positive reinforcement training. The second, I'm going to wrap up pretty quickly here and we'll go to a break, but second, make sure you're not accidentally promoting the puppy biting by what I call the busy hand syndrome. We send mixed messages to our dogs because if you watch puppies play together, they initiate roughhousing by using their front paws on each other. So here we come along, humans, with our giant front paws, pat, 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 pet, 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 and the puppy says, aha, she wants to roughhouse and starts, of course, using his mouth because he uses his mouth like we use our hands. I don't think dogs come pre-programmed knowing how to enjoy petting. It's just not really an instinctive thing for them. So to teach them to accept petting, I like to put a treat in one hand, holding it tight enough that the pup can just use the front part of his teeth to nibble it and stroke with the other hand. He's nibbling the treat with one hand, learning to ignore the stroking hand, and also it's a positive, you're pairing the positive yummy treat with the stroking, making him love the stroking. And also, when you're going to hold your pup, he's probably going to wiggle, right? Just keep your hands steady. If you keep adjusting, and trying to calm him down, again, you're sending that, hey, let's wrestle message. A couple things that don't work and will make matters worse, flicking the puppy on the nose usually makes them really wind up and come after you. Hitting the puppy with a newspaper, pushing him away, that's like, hey, come on, let's keep wrestling. And trying to pet an already overly stimulated puppy to get him to calm down. I see this in adult dogs also. And maybe Dr. Powers can verify for us. You see people in the vet waiting rooms going, it's okay, and petting and petting and petting, and the dog's just getting more and more anxious. So we're going to go to a break. I'm Carla Jackson sitting in for Dr. Trudy Pratt today. We're talking about pets. We're going to come back and talk to Katie Ball about Love Your Pet Expo. This is KCNR for Animal Radio. You got to make the moment. Welcome back. This is Carla Jackson sitting in for Dr. Trudy Pratt, who will be back next Saturday to resume her Positively Healthy show. But for today, we're talking about dogs and other animals, and we're going to have a conversation with Katie Ball, who is putting on Love Your Pet Expo next weekend, next Saturday, down at the Shasta District Fairgrounds.
Thank you, Carla, and thank you for such a great tip on puppy education and puppy training. We as humans tend to goof things up a lot.
Yeah, we do.
That was a great tip. Katie, welcome. Thank you for coming and joining us this morning. Can you tell us, what is Love Your Pet Expo?
Well, Love Your Pet Expo is a pet-friendly annual event for animal lovers to come together and see what's new in the pet world, learn about pet products, health, safety, rescue, and adoption. But most of all, it's a place where we can have a lot of fun with our pets.
That's for sure. Yes, it is. And every year it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. What, where, when, what time, and what's the cost?
Well, it's at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. It's 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's $4 for adults. Kids get in free. Rain or shine, anyone bringing $10 worth of pet food or cat litter, get in free.
Terrific. And everybody heard rain or shine, so no matter what, even if it's a cloudy, rainy day. Can the public bring their dogs or pets?
Pets are welcome. Honestly, the invitation is the family pet can come, and if you're good, maybe they'll bring you to the expo with them.
what are the guidelines or the requirements if somebody wants, like if I want to bring my dog, what would be one of the guidelines?
All animals must be socialized, leashed, and up to date on vaccinations. And when we say socialized, we mean not aggressive towards other types of animals. So if you have a miniature donkey you're bringing, it can't be afraid of dogs. Or if you have a dog that is aggressive towards other dogs, that's probably not a real good fit.
It'd probably be a little overwhelming for them, too.
Yeah, because there's a lot of smells.
Yeah, lots of new stuff going on. What type of vendors will be there?
Well, we have anything from dog beds to cat scratching posts, handmade items, dog food vendors, trainers, rescue groups that'll have dogs up for adoptions. We have a barbecue and heartworm testing at a show special for $15.
Great. That's wonderful. So there's something for everybody, for people and for animals, too.
We have
everything's covered.
Mm-hmm. We have everything from small mom-and-pop shops to Petco, who is our show sponsor. And the vendors will have games, coupons, samples, and freebies at their booths. The first 500 people will get a goodie bag when they come through the door with coupons and
good.
Yeah, samples.
That's great. It's great. What groups are going to be there or organizations?
Well, we actually have just about all the North State rescue groups that will be there offering dog adoptions. We have the Rat Association, the Miniature Donkey Association, and the organizations will also be doing their own raffles and things at their booth.
Okay, wait a minute. Back up.
Rats.
Rats.
There'll be rats.
Oh, and they're really cool because you'll see grown women walking around with their pet rat around their neck in a costume, and it's a lot of fun. The miniature donkeys are a hoot as well because when they're shopping with their donkeys, and the donkeys are in costume.
Oh, how
so
cute.
It's a lot of fun.
So will the boa constrictor enthusiast club be there also?
No. Shasta Wildlife will be there as well, and we did not put them near rats because we didn't want the raptors to say, "Oh, you put it next to the concession stand."
Yeah.
Lunch.
Oh gosh, it's a drive-through. Okay, are there going to be demonstrations?
We will be having demos in obedience, animal massage, clicker training. Anderson PD will be there with their canine handler. It's going to be a lot
of fun. Oh, good. Excellent. What about drawings, door prizes, good fun things?
You know, we're not only just going to have drawings and door prizes throughout the day, but we're also going to be having the charity auction. And all the proceeds for the auction go to Forever Pets, Raining Cats and Dogs, Shasta Wildlife, and Shasta Search and Rescue. And these charities rotate each year to make sure that we're able to give a little bit every year. And they're great prizes that'll be going for these auctions. So to the highest bidder, great deals to be had.
And that's wonderful. There's such worthwhile organizations and charities, and they do so much for the animals here in our area. So that's great. Okay, what about activities? If I want to take my dog, which I will, can we participate in something that's there?
Well, our costume parade starts at 10 o'clock, and from there we'll have agility, rally obedience, games, cakewalk, photo contest, where you can either have your photo taken there or bring a photo from home. They're judged on by the attendees, and then there's a prize given at the end of the day. Not only do we have activities for the pets, but we also have a kids' corner. And in the kids' corner, they can make cat toys, dog toys, activity pages with hints on taking care of their pets. We'll also have free face painting. Wheels the Clown will be there making animal balloons. But this family event's not just for your family, but for mine. My mom is my webmaster. My husband and father are security. My brother's the auctioneer. My daughter's the kids corner. And my dog Expo, he's our mascot.
So there's no need to put in an application if there are any jobs available, right?
We're always looking for volunteers.
In the kid, that kid's corner sounds wonderful.
It's a big hit.
That's so you can bring your pets, you can bring your kids, and there's just going to be something to do for everybody.
Yes.
That is great. And also the activities are going to be there, like the rally-o and things like that. People can learn about some of these things they can do with their dogs. There's a lot of sports and things that are available.
Mm-hmm.
For animals, for pets here in our area, and this will give people a chance to kind of see, actually, and even hands-on see what's available.
Right, because during these demos, you bring your dog in and work with
right.
the trainer, and then you get to participate.
Right. And I've done Rally-O, and it is so much fun. It really is. It's just great. Would you do us a favor, give the listeners your website?
My website is loveyourpetexpo.com. And that's love spelled out, L-O-V-E, and your Y-O-U-R, petexpo.com.
Okay. And would you like to give out a telephone number if people have questions?
Sure.
They can call you?
530-347-1616.
Okay, great. Thank you. Katie, thank you so much for coming and spending time with us this morning. We really appreciate it, and we're looking forward to the event next year. And remember, next week it's going to be on Saturday, Shasta District Fairgrounds. It starts, gates open at 10 o'clock. The
mm-hmm.
first 500 people there get little goodie bags with all kinds of coupons and good things till 10 o'clock in the evening. What about?
I'm sorry.
Till 5 in the evening. And what about parking? Is there a charge for parking?
No charge for parking.
Parking is free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and again, $10 worth of food or cat litter, you get in for free. This goes to be distributed throughout the charities and the community as needed.
Terrific.
I just had a lady call from New York. She couldn't feed her dog this month. And she didn't know what to do. I said, call your local Humane Society. They wanted her to relinquish the dog. They don't do free food in New York. So through our website and our networking, we were able to hook her up with a food bank in New York that fed her dog this month while she had back surgery.
Mm.
So it's all about not just what's going on here, but the networking we're doing across the United States and with our website.
And for all of our listeners, you would be amazed at the networking that goes on in our area with rescues and getting food and helping people. Thank you so much for coming and being with us.
Oh, thanks for having
me.
And
we know Love Your Pet Expo 2010 is going to be an absolute smashing success.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
And again, that's at the Shasta District Fairgrounds in Anderson, April 10th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's a great family extravaganza. You've had people bring llamas and dogs. Rally-O, just in case anybody doesn't know, is a form of obedience class where you self-direct through. You go from station to station with little signs and do tasks, and it's just a blast. And you said agility will be there also? Okay, so people can put their dogs through agility if they want.
She actually brings the whole course, and it's in a big circle around the gazebo area in front of the building. And, yep, it's absolutely fantastic.
Now, it's $4 to get in. Will there be a charge for some of the activities?
Every activity is free. We've got the cakewalk, longest nose, shortest nose. We do a sniff out the treat type of thing. We'll have a petting zoo through the ag department at Shasta College. All of this is free, including the face painting and the balloons. And once you walk in the door, unless you want to buy goodies.
Okay. Cool. That's great to know that $4 gets you in, and then it's just a fun. Thank you for being with us. I'm Carla Jackson with Sherry McMillan, sitting in for Dr. Trudy Pratt. This is KCNR, 1460 Radio.
It's Doug.
You got to make the moment last.
Hello, we're back. This is Carla Jackson, sitting in for Dr. Trudy Pratt, along with Sherry McMillan. We're professional dog trainers, and we've taken over the studio today to talk about pets. And with us is Dr. Jen Powers from Above and Beyond Animal Care. Welcome, Dr. Powers.
Good morning.
It's great to have you here. Full disclosure, I've known you since 1994 when you first started practicing in this area. And you have a really cool, diversified practice, it seems to me. You're a large animal vet. You specialize in equine dentistry. You do small animal medicine. And you do an interesting mix of Western and traditional Chinese holistic medicine. You're also a certified veterinary acupuncturist. So what is there anything you don't do?
Well, it has to have fur, and you're not supposed to want to eat it. So dogs, cats, horses, and llamas primarily.
Okay, so I'm out of luck if I want you to treat my iguana?
Pretty much.
Okay, good. I don't have an iguana, but that's good to know. So you've just opened Above and Beyond Animal Care out in Palisadro. You haven't been open very long. What can you tell us about it?
Well, I've been practicing, like you said, about 16 years in this area after graduating from UC Davis, and I had my shoulder replaced in July of last year, and I thought that was a good break and an opportunity to get out on my own and formulate a practice of holistic medicine for my clients so I can give them the time to evaluate their animals nose to tail, inside to outside, and come up with a good treatment protocol.
Cool. Are you a full veterinary clinic? At this point?
We do. We have the equine dentistry has been up and running, and we have small animal surgery facilities, radiology, so we've got it all there, and we do mobile as well.
Cool. I know you do the mobile equine dentistry. I've seen you with a squeeze chute on the back of your truck.
That would be me. I do have a specially made stocks for equine dentistry, and we travel all over the North State, actually.
Yes. All the way to Vacaville.
All the way to Vacaville and to the coast and over down to the Reno area and up into Oregon.
And you say you have three dentists working with you now?
Yes, we currently have three equine dental technicians working with me as well.
Oh, okay.
So they do a lot of the mechanical balancing, and then I do endodontics and periodontics and extractions.
Right, and I think a lot of folks don't realize how evolved equine dentistry has come. When I first got my horse, you know, you floated the teeth, which meant you just grind off the sharp pieces. But just recently, you filled a cavity for my horse. I don't think that was such a bizarre concept to me.
It has come a long way. The technology has actually been there since World War II, but I think we kind of faded out because we don't look a gift horse in the mouth. And it's hard to see in there, and so it's kind of a forgotten realm, but it's really important. The teeth connect to the TMJ, which connects all the way to the pole and connects to the tail. So it has a lot to do with the biomechanics of the horse and how they can use themselves in collection, how they maintain their health and their feed. So it's a huge part of their life.
Yeah, it's very important. So you're taking new patients.
Yes, we are.
And how do we get a hold of you?
The clinic number is 524-7044, and you'll be speaking either to Tanya or Leslie. They're the two top dogs, and we're really happy to accept new clients. And there's a lot of people out there to talk to about that have been to our practice before that can kind of introduce you to the acupuncture and the dentistry and how we put everything together. We don't just look at one problem or one issue. We try to look at the whole animal.
Yes, that, like I said, the mixing of the Western and the traditional Chinese medicine. So let's talk a little bit about acupuncture in pets. That seems like you've been a certified acupuncturist since the mid-90s, and I think you were probably the first in this area doing acupuncture on pets.
Yes, one of the first.
One of the first. And how long has it been an option for pets?
Well, for about 3,000 years. I mean, they must be doing something right. So it's very interesting because it actually started in the warring times in China, and they found that the front line of horses being struck by arrows in certain areas would actually, their lamenesses would improve.
Oh.
So it actually started on horses, and there's traditional points just for horses in Chinese medicine. And then they started poking people and realized that, you know, they could fix things that way. And, of course, developed into a huge, I mean, it's its own medicine bank, Chinese medicine.
So acupuncture started with animals.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Okay.
You know, I think, unfortunately, we, being Westerners, we're taught to take a pill to fix everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so we often look at acupuncture or Chinese medicine as a last resort when Western medicine has failed us. And I admit that's how I got into it. But it is... truly, it should be a first choice for a lot of issues we have. So we can talk about some of those issues when we get back as to why you might choose to pursue acupuncture.
Right, because I'm from that camp. You know, it's like we've tried everything else. Well, what else can we try? Let's try some acupuncture. And you're saying that we could even do acupuncture maybe on healthy animals to keep them healthy.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm Carla Jackson talking with Dr. Jen Powers. And when we come back, we'll be learning a little bit more about acupuncture. And for dogs and maybe other animals. And we'll also talk about some seasonal issues regarding pets.
Hi, this is Sharon.
Welcome back. This is Carla Jackson sitting in for Dr. Trudy Pratt, who will be back next Saturday. But for today, we're talking about animals. And we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Jen Powers from Above and Beyond Animal Care. When we went to the break, we were talking about how acupuncture got started with animals, and where I think a lot of people think that acupuncture is just suddenly now available to animals. So what sorts of issues do you treat? Let's start with dogs.
Okay. We have a lot of success with musculoskeletal problems, so hip dysplasia, elbow dysplasia, chronic lamenesses. It's actually recommended as the first course of treatment for any disc issues in a dog, unless it's a grade 4 where you don't have any deep pain. Then, of course, surgery is the only option. But, in fact, just this month, we had two fully paralyzed dogs for different reasons, and both of them were up and walking in a week.
Oh, that's amazing.
It
so
is.
Not only can we just manage pain, but we can actually cure some issues as well.
Yeah, neurologic issues respond very well. We've treated allergies we have good success with, metabolic issues, whether they're brand new or whether they're long chronic ranging.
So tell me about the allergies. That I don't quite understand how allergies can be treated with acupuncture. Maybe you can enlighten me a little bit.
Well, it's it's kind of a different language when you start talking about traditional Chinese medicine. So they talk about energy patterns in the body and that energy moving. And the allergies typically are part of a constitution of the animal, and that that animal is predisposed to those issues. And so we treat the balancing of the animal to get the energy patterns moving again, and that releases the issues of itching and redness and irritation.
Interesting. I actually had a client that was going to go to you for acupuncture for allergies, and I thought, I'm going to ask about that because it's very interesting. What is a typical treatment length? Like, how long would the appointment be?
The initial exam is typically between 20 to 30 minutes, and then the treatments are typically about anywhere between 15 to 20 minutes. Okay. And the animals love it. I mean, they may be a little hesitant the first time that, you know, they have to be still, and sometimes they're a little acute with the needles, but by the second or third time, they actually are trotting it, and they want the treatment. They feel good. They get very relaxed. The owners are relaxed. It's a great environment to be in, and it's really positive.
Yes. I was doing some research on it, and it said even the calming effect can even last a couple of days after a treatment.
Yeah, it typically does. And it's not just for disease processes. It's, you know, a lot of times, as you know, the dogs can be very stoic,
mm-hmm.
and they hide a lot from their owners. And acupuncture also works not from treatment but from diagnosis. And so it's hard to hide from something that's been known for 3,000 years. And so we can take these seemingly normal dogs and kind of dig up issues that are going to be kind of underlying and get to treat them before they become an issue for the dog. We do a lot of sports medicine. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of the agility dogs, and they're doing very well on a maintenance program.
Cool. And I know sometimes people have needle phobias and, you know, really are frightened about going to acupuncture because of the needle phobia. The nice thing about animals is they don't walk in with all of this baggage and the phobias. Have you ever had a dog that just won't tolerate it?
No, I
really
haven't. Not a dog. Cats, they sit there, they do extremely well. You'd think a cat you couldn't get a needle in, and they don't even flinch. Horses are great for it. The nice thing about the animals is a lot of times people see the success and how easily acupuncture is taken, and they seek it for themselves, and we can help them find referrals in the area for human acupuncturists.
Now, you said something about doing manipulations also. You're not a chiropractor.
No, not a chiropractor. Just do osteopathic movement.
Mm-hmm.
So moving the articular facets and doing adjustments that way. It's not chiropractic.
And any T-Touch, the Linda Tellington-Jones?
Yes, we do plenty of that. Basically, you know, get the animal to calm down in the environment and get them to relax. Teaching owners how to get their animals to take wormers or stretching exercises. Like I say, it's very holistic. We try to take the animal, evaluate it, but then also send the client home with take-home messages, stretching exercises, things to do to keep their animals healthy.
That sounds really cool. And because I know if you do long-term anti-inflammatory with people and with animals, you can get all sorts of complications.
And, you know, you're just treating a symptom. You're not treating the core problem.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Do you make house calls?
Absolutely. We make house calls, and it's one of the fun things to go and see the animals in their environment. There are some dogs that, especially the older dogs, the geriatrics that we do, are really nervous outside their home environment, and the more relaxed the animal is, certainly the more effective the treatment. Mm-hmm. And so on those animals, you know, don't stress them out. We'll come to you.
All right. And I've talked to dog owners who started doing the acupuncture at your vet clinic, and it has taken the go-to-the-vet-clinic fear away because they have such a positive experience with
yeah.
the acupuncture. And that must be very reassuring. So being a dog trainer, I'm wondering if there are any behavioral issues you can treat with acupuncture, and we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. This is Carla Jackson sitting in with Sherry McMillan. We're both professional dog trainers. We're taking over Dr. Trudy Pratt's show just for today. This is KCNR 1460 Radio.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make
Welcome back. This is Carla Jackson sitting in for Dr. Trudy Pratt's Positively Healthy Show. Today we're talking to Dr. Jen Powers from Above and Beyond Animal Care, talking about veterinary acupuncture when we went to the break. And Sherry McMillan is here also. She's a professional dog trainer in Reading. And you have a question about acupuncture that you wanted to ask?
I do have a question. Dr. Powers, could you tell us a little bit about, is there a cumulative effect with the treatments for acupuncture? And also maybe about how many treatments, or would it be just an individual case basis? Just a little bit about that.
It is individual, but I would say in general, we typically recommend that people try 3 treatments a week apart and look for the changes that, you know, obviously it has to be a positive change from the owner's perspective to continue the acupuncture. Typically, it doesn't even take that long. We typically have effects within the first treatment, and they come back clearly amazed. But you'll find that, like, the first treatment will last about 3 to 4 days, and then the following treatment will last about 5 days, and then the third one will last a week or over, and that's when we call that the holding treatment, and then we start to spread out. I have clients that have gone through those treatments and never come back because the dogs are doing fantastic. Sometimes people come back once a month or once every couple months.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, it just sounds like a win-win for everyone. So back to the behavioral issues, and I'm wondering about things like anxiety disorders, separation anxiety. Can that be addressed through acupuncture?
It can. In traditional Chinese medicine, there's clearly a diagnosis that fits with that, and so we do treat those energy pathways involved in that and have had great success. I do use that in combination with some herbal remedies, but we've had good success on preventing the dogs with separation anxiety from being destructive of other things or of themselves. And it's wonderful because the dogs are much happier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going through that stressful reaction. And we're not using things like sedatives or anti-anxiety drugs to treat that.
Right. And separation anxiety, true clinical separation anxiety, is a horrible way for the animal to live.
It is. They're clearly terrified. And then that relates out to other. They become noise phobic, thunderstorms, loud noises, gunshots, and it seems to be kind of this escalating problem. So I think it's important when people start to see symptoms of that in their animal, they seek professional help, whether acupuncture or working with a dog trainer. And again, I think it's all of us working together. It's not just one individual thing is the panacea fix.
Right. I know with separation anxiety, a lot of times veterinarians prescribe Clomicalm, which is
an anti-anxiety.
Anti-anxiety. And even the drug company recommends that be in conjunction with a training program.
Exactly.
And the training program would be teaching the dog to stay while we move a short distance away, and then slowly building the time alone. And true separation anxiety, you know it when your dog has it. There's a lot of destruction at exits and entrances. We've had them chew through drywall.
Right.
And one common thing we hear a lot is pulling the mini blinds off the window and digging at the carpet, digging up the whole carpet, trying to get out. So it's a terrible... Unstuffing the couch, yes.
It's called redecorating.
Yes, there is the boredom destruction,
yeah.
But this is very, very different. And
it is.
It's just not a pleasant thing. So that's really interesting. That any other behavioral issues? Aggression?
That's a good question. And again, with the Western medicine, we don't really have a way to fix that. But the Chinese medicine, there are energy pathways directly related with that. And I haven't had an aggressive dog come to me for that, but I'd certainly be willing to try.
Wow, I can set you up.
I bet you could.
When you start getting all those dog aggression calls, you'll probably call me and say,
yeah. Come hold them.
Change my mind. Okay, so again, how do we schedule an appointment with you?
Call the staff at 524-7044, and they'll get you set up.
And Tanya usually answers the phone.
Tanya or Leslie, they have a good sense of humor,
yeah,
so take a note.
They're really cool. They've worked with you for a long time.
Yep.
So they know you very well, and I think that's wonderful. Is there anything else you'd like to say about acupuncture before we move on to maybe another topic?
Well, I would say just kind of if people can take a minute and kind of look at their animals and kind of look at all the supplements that are sitting on the counter and all the drugs they're giving, and maybe think of acupuncture as an option to taking some of those out of the system rather than going to it when everything else fails. I'd like to see people coming to it as more of a first line than the last effort.
Yes, Dr. Pratt had a guest on last week that was talking about resetting the default for our attitudes towards Western medicine, and just don't instantly go to the shot or the pill. And right. I thought that just had so many applications to dog training, resetting the default
yep.
to how we approach dog training. And that sounds like this would be a good application also. I had another fascinating thought that seems to have left me. Oh, I wanted to ask you about the herbs. You also treat with holistic herbs also?
Yes, based on traditional Chinese medicine. So there's Western herbs and then Chinese herbs. They work different ways. Of course, they're different herbs. And I use the traditional Chinese herbs.
And is that a whole different certification?
It is. Actually, Dr. Betsy Adamson is currently going through her certification. I would not propose to say that I'm as good as an herbologist as Betsy, but I do use some herbal remedies in conjunction with the acupuncture.
Can you name a few?
We use At Ease and Be Happy for our separation anxiety dogs, D-Itch and an immunity supplement for the allergy dogs, Mega Energy and Four Pain for our athletic dogs that are, you know, everywhere from dock dogs to agility to their fly ball dogs. I mean, those are athletes and they're undergoing trauma to themselves every day.
I hear a lot of Rescue Remedy. Is that?
Rescue Remedy is a Bach flower remedy, and it works excellent for separation anxiety dogs. It's very easy to give. You can just put it in their water. It takes that edge off of them. It does not sedate them in any way, but it certainly, we use it for horses that have to be confined, dogs that have to be left. If you take your dog to a boarding facility, you can take that little bottle with you and have them put it in the water, mm-hmm. and they do much better with it.
And then the owner can take it too.
Yeah. A little for me, a little for my dog.
Separation anxiety.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. So we're getting into spring and summer. And I know there are some seasonal issues with pets coming up. My crusade is foxtails because, and this year it's already driving me crazy. I can see them drying out already.
Right.
It seems like it's a good month early. Can you talk a little bit about foxtails and why they're so dangerous?
Well, they're dangerous because they have a reverse barb on the plant material. So if you actually pick a foxtail up and rub your finger backwards on it, you'll see that it catches on your skin. And so if those contact the hair, coat, or the skin, they'll actually work their way in, and they're very difficult to get out. And they can track through the body and into the abdomen or the thorax, which is the lung cavity. They can cause, obviously, some very serious illnesses. But the recommendation is if you can get them either mowed down or whacked down while they're still green, they usually will decompose in the ground. If you're catching them when they're dry, I would still try to get them mowed down, but then wet the area thoroughly. Certainly, if your dog is licking its paws, has redness in between the toes, is shaking its head and crying by its ear, or has acute sneezing.
The head banging sneeze.
You do really need to get to a vet soon before those foxtails migrate further.
Right. They pierce the skin, and they are all about the forward motion. And I would also like to mention that it's very expensive. Sometimes to remove them. I've talked to vets that have had to track them through the body and can hardly find them. If it goes up the nose, it's always anesthesia to get it out, right?
It's very difficult to stick an instrument up the nose without the dog fighting you, yes.
So that's about $300.
Yeah.
So it. So when you're mowing your foxtails, that's right, try to get them when they're green. I recommend using a bagger and just taking them completely off the property and disposing of them. They're just the most sinister weed, and they are everywhere. They're growing along the Sacramento River Trail. They are everywhere. We need to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some other seasonal issues like ticks. And we're talking to Dr. Jen Powers from Above and Beyond Animal Care. I'm Carla Jackson sitting in for Dr. Trudy Pratt. We're on KCNR 1460 Radio. Hi, this is Carla Jackson. We're back talking to Dr. Jen Powers. We're sitting in for Dr. Trudy Pratt, who will be back next Saturday. So we were talking about foxtails, the evil weed of all time, being a problem coming into summertime. And you were mentioning ticks earlier, and I know that ticks are nasty, disease-spreading, scarring. They always leave a scar whenever I take one off of my dog, it seems like. What do you recommend for tick control?
Well, let me back up just a second and finish the foxtail. That's just a quick tip for people to do what's called a foxtail clip, which is to get the feet and the ears trimmed of extra hair so that the foxtails aren't kind of caught up in the Velcro and then work their way in. So that would be, you know, something I would recommend, trimming the feathers off, trimming the belly hair.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And also doing a foxtail check after an outing.
Absolutely. Good idea. Yeah. As far as fleas and ticks go, obviously this is the time when they flourish, and they can spread diseases from ehrlichiosis and Lyme's disease. Fleas also spread tapeworms. They are the intermediate host for tapeworms. So we need to try to control these parasites, and there's the safest way to do that is using the prescription formularies that we have out there, Top Spot and Advantage, versus the over-the-counter organophosphates, which are truly just toxins that we put on our animals. And that's a recent article in Record Searchlight addressing that we have to be aware of these toxicities. And the labeled products that they can get from the grocery stores aren't well labeled to warn them about how toxic they are to small dogs and cats.
Mm-hmm.
The Frontline and the Advantage are flea products. The Frontline has tick control in it as well. And the purpose of these is to prevent the tick from attaching for over 24 hours, which is the time it requires it to spread the diseases.
So it can still attach.
It can still attach, and you may still see, you know, an occasional meandering tick on the animal, but they can't attach for longer than the 12 to 24-hour period.
Which would allow the disease.
Exactly.
So I have to admit, I am have always been, though I hate ticks, hate any blood-sucking parasite, I've always been a little hesitant to put the chemicals on my dogs, and I would never just buy an over-the-counter. I always go through, get a veterinary product. Can you kind of talk about that? It just seems like chemicals that might not be good for the pet.
The chemical in Frontline is actually, it only affects the insects. It doesn't affect mammals at all. So it is very safe. If you have just an occasional tick and you're not having a heavy flea problem, then, you know, you can just use a flea or a tick comb on your dog when you come in from a walk and, you know, kind of just go over them and get them off by yourself. Mm-hmm. But when you're dealing with a dog that's out in the environment all the time, or you have a heavy load of fleas and you have lots of cats or neighbor animals, you really need to do something to control the population.
Right, and I know that fleas spend only a very small portion of their life actually on the dog.
And that's a great point, that you have to treat the environment as well, usually the yard or the house, and especially the dark and moist areas.
And there are non-chemical ways to do that. I think diatomaceous earth.
Yep,
desiccating.
Yep.
Eucalyptus. And
oils. Mm-hmm.
And other things. It's a huge problem, and so I can rest assured and be a little more comfortable at using
yes.
Frontline and Advantage. Well, we have to wrap up our show. It seems like we just got started. We have so much information that we want to talk about. I'd like to thank our two guests, and Sherry, certainly, for co-hosting with me.
Thank you very much, Carla. It was fun. It was a great program, and we got a lot of really, really good information. I want to thank Dr. Trudy Pratt also. Thank you, Trudy. You're out there somewhere, I know, having fun. And Dr. Powers. And also remember, Katie Ball's here. Love Your Pet Expo next Saturday, April the 10th, Shasta District Fairgrounds. Gates open at 10 o'clock for the parade. $4 at the door. Kids are free, and especially the kids. Rain or shine, rain or shine. And the kids... corner is going to be just absolutely delightful.
Yes.
Thank you. If anybody would like to get in touch with me, they can call me at 530-246-4220. And thank you so much to our listeners.
Yes. Call Sherry for any of your dog-related questions, your behavior problems. I'd like to also thank Katie for being here on her – was this your radio debut? Yes, this was her first radio debut, and I'd also like to thank Dr. Powers for coming in and talking to us, you just gave us some fabulous information.
Yes.
And thank you, Trudy, for letting us take over, and I I hope maybe we can do it again. This is Carla Jackson, along with Sherry McMillan, signing off. This KCNR 1460 Radio.
I love you.